Living next door to the church. I don't know if all of you know that I live next door to the church. And it actually has a lot of perks. My family was very anxious about living next door to where I would work, and it turns out it's actually been a pretty good deal. I mean, my commute is like 30 seconds long. I have run home during a trustees meeting to kiss a kiddo goodnight and made it back in under 5 minutes. I can do that. I actually swing home many times during the day. Maybe I need a snack. Maybe I've decided I just want to go have lunch there. Maybe I want to lay on the couch while making a conference call instead of sitting at a desk. I'm back and forth all day long. I've never come and gone from my house so often. And every time I leave, which is a lot, right? In and out and in and out. Megan and I have this brief moment before I close the door as I holler 5 words that have almost become one smashed together word. Thank you, love you, bye. Thank you, love you, bye. Thank you, love you, bye. Close. Honestly, there's some of the most important things one person can say to another, right? Thank you, this expression of gratitude for all another person does. Love you, an expression of deep relational connection. And even goodbye, a moment of thoughtful and intentional departure. And yet somehow I cram all of this into a throwaway phrase that sometimes I barely fit in before the door closes. Been thinking about that recently, and what I've realized is I can do better. The lack of thought and intention in that phrase, thank you, love you, bye, is not very thoughtful, and it's not very intentional. And so it got me thinking about being intentional and being thoughtful. There are so many things that are worth our thought and intention that get less than they deserve. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, there are plenty of things that get our thoughts and intention that aren't worth our energy. I've been thinking a lot about this as we take a few weeks to focus on building a home where all belong. When we first identified this defining characteristic as a congregation, I said in one of the original sermons about this that I hoped building a home where all belong would become the answer to any question someone asked about our church. Right? That if someone said, oh, why do you go there? Because we're building a home where all belong. Oh, what's your church like? What's it about? We're about building a home where all belong. Oh, who's welcome at your church? Why do you have that big banner? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? The answer to any question would always be because we are building a home where all belong. When people ask or talk about Highlands United Methodist Church, when our leadership is making decisions about where we go as a congregation, the first words should always be building a home where all belong. And when we first introduced this beautiful phrase, I wanted it to be the first thing that we thought or said always as a congregation. And I still want it to be. But just like thank you, love you, bye, it means too much to say it without thinking. I want you to listen to the words. Maybe look at the logo on the cover of your bulletin. Think about this with me for a moment and give it your full attention. Building a home where all belong. Every single one of those words matters. Now, this is not a mission statement. It's not a vision statement. It's not a statement of welcome. We have all of them. We've got lists of statements and important things that help shape and form us. This phrase is different than that. One of my favorite ways to talk about this phrase is to say that it's who we are at our best, and it's what we strive for every day. But that's only true if we give it the thought and intention that it deserves. And I believe this is at the top of the list for things that are worthy of our best efforts as people. The Apostle Paul thought so too. And he said it this way in his letter to the church in Rome. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate act of worship. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Now, when I think about what is good and pleasing to God, I think about building a home where all belong. But the scripture's always sort of been very interesting to me. I've heard it preached many times in many ways. One of my favorites was when someone preached on this and talked about how we're supposed to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And his comment was, you know, the problem with living sacrifices is we have a tendency to crawl off the altar. I was like, ooh, that's an interesting image. Okay. I'm not sure what to do with it. Like, there's some ways I've heard this sacrificial language preached. I'm just not sure about that. But I do know this about Paul. This whole, you know, offer your very living self. If Paul played poker, he strikes me as the guy that would be all in on every hand. He'd be like, you're holding a one. What's going on? All in. All in. Present your bodies as this living sacrifice. And now, while that was an actual risk of being Christian in Paul's time, I hear a truth that does echo into today that's a bit different. What God is seeking to do through us is worth our thoughts and our intention. That's our whole self. What we think about, what we put our energy and effort into, what we believe is important, that is our self, and we can offer that to God. It's actually why we pray each week. We offer here what we have and what we do, and even more who we are. That's our offertory prayer, which, by the way, I know a ton of you are praying without having to think about it, right? We do it every week. We have for like almost 6 years now. And I know plenty of you can just say offering prayer and you just go into it. Like if I were to change the words in the bulletin, I should have done that this week. Oh, right? And we just pray and you're like, it says elephant in the middle. You just be like, what we have, what we do, even more who we are. You could probably, you know, like send an email while still reciting that out loud. It's our own thank you, love you, bye. Again, those are very important words that matter. What we have, what we do, and who we are. Those shouldn't just be a reflex. Maybe that's the pattern of this world that Paul was warning us about in the scripture. When he said, don't be conformed to this world. Maybe we shouldn't be conformed to the thoughtless, reflex-filled, just going through the motions tendency of the world around us. What God is doing in and through each of us is worth more than that. What God is doing is worth our best thoughts and our best intention. This week in your bulletin, you'll find a pledge card for the 2018 ministry of Highlands United Methodist Church. Our church leadership puts great thought and intention into planning what we can and can't do every single year. We don't just hope things work out. We're very intentional because everything we do here is funded through your generosity. Taking a moment to let us know what your intention for giving is lets us plan appropriately, especially when we look at a huge, huge list of dreams and things that could be before us. In fact, we know that in order to build a home where all belong in this coming year, with all the dreams that our ministry teams have put together, we need $20,000 more in pledges. That's what we're hoping to grow into. That growth will fund what God is calling our ministry teams and our congregation to do in the coming year. It'll help support and expand our work for the environment, our care for families without homes, the way we tend to children in the neighborhood. That growth will also support our expanding ministries and our growing attendance by funding a half-time associate pastor to assist in the care of our congregation's needs. Like more opportunities to build relationships and learn about the Bible and reflect on the challenges of life in small groups. And whether you fill out a paper card and put it in the offering plate next week, or if you fill out the really easy and secure form that we're going to email to you, found on our website, whatever method you choose to use, it is my hope that you will offer this decision the thought and the intention that it's worthy of. That's why we give you the cards a week ahead of time, that you might have something to remind you to think and to pray and to reflect. As I mentioned, I've heard a lot of scriptures or a lot of sermons preached on the scripture I shared with you today. And the sacrificial language I've always been uncomfortable with. In fact, I've never preached on sacrificial giving in the last 12... Actually, I've been preaching for like 18 years. I've never preached on sacrificial giving. Because throughout much of Christianity's history, churches have used the phrase sacrificial giving in ways that I wasn't comfortable with. I've never been comfortable with the idea when people use it to say, if your giving isn't hurting, you're not giving enough. That's how I always heard this phrase. And I don't think that's what God asks of us. In fact, I think that perspective of giving till it hurts is theological abuse. So I went back to Paul's scripture about not conforming to the thoughtless world around us. And I see a truer meaning when we're invited to offer our whole selves, an invitation that is about intention and thought. May whatever you choose to give make you think. Hear this clearly. You're not just being asked to think about what you will give. You're being invited to give something that will make you think. Because what God is doing in this place is worth thinking about. It's something you're already doing in all of the ways you support this place. In your prayers, in your presence, in your gifts, in your service, in the way you live every single day, you are already making a difference. Have you thought about it? We have a gift to share with you today. I'd ask those helping out to wander that direction and get ready. We have a gift to share with you that hopefully will remind you of what God is already doing in this place. I invite you to take a moment to think about what God is doing in our midst and how building a home where all belong is more than a catchy phrase and a beautiful logo. What you're going to see this morning are glimpses of God's work in the stories of people in our community. And I say in our community because this morning you will see beautiful stories from people who are a part of our congregation. This year you're also going to see stories from our community. We also receive stories from a local business owner, the Muslim and Jewish faith communities, and also the folks at Family Promise, whom we work with to house those without homes. These community group stories will be marked with little red corners, and our tweens are carrying those messages today. I invite you to sit in the presence of what God is doing and to think and be grateful. I hope that in all the ways that you give, that you're able to think of moments like this and be grateful for what God is doing through you and through this community. I invite you to join me in our offertory prayer. If you know it by memory, I invite you to take a moment and really think about what we pray. Let us pray together. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more who we are, that our generosity might transform the world. Amen.